This episode is brought to you by Juul Wellness, beef liver and oyster capsule supplementation. We're all about if you can just eat liver and if you can just eat oysters, you're going to be absolutely crushing it at your hormone health. However, not everyone likes to be eating liver and oysters, and that is why this is the best possible option for you. These are some of the most nutrient-dense foods on the planet, packed with bioavailable iron, B12, zinc, and essential minerals that deeply support hormone balance, natural energy, and of course, fertility health. So if you are working on HA recovery, if you have been on birth control and you're trying to come off, if you've had an ED, if you've had multiple of the above, and of course, if you're preparing for pregnancy, Juul beef liver and oyster capsules make it really easy to nourish your body every single day. You don't have to cook. You don't have to make mess. You just have to swallow these whole food natural supplements in a capsule. We love Juul so much that we bought it. So we own it. We're very passionate. It's New Zealand sourced oysters and beef, which is the best possible kind you can get. And it's on every single protocol we ever do for our one-on-one clients, and it has been from the very beginning. So if you guys love a little bit of liver or you want to give it a try, because we're the owners, we actually have the best possible discount for you guys. So if you go ahead and use the code HA Society, you will get a 12% discount for life, and only you guys and our founding members have ever gotten a discount that big. So definitely, it's the best kept secret. It's just for you guys. Go to JuulWellness.com and make sure supplementation is 100% covered on your HA recovery journey. That's the code HA Society and use it at JuulWellness.com. On with the show. Welcome to the Hypothalamic Amenorrhea Podcast. I'm Dani Sheriff, your host, certified fertility awareness practitioner, functional nutrition counselor, and founder of the HA Society, and of course, an HA recovery coach who has walked where you currently are walking. This is the place to come if you care about getting your period regularly. This podcast aims to educate, inform, and keep you motivated on your period and HA recovery track. So let's dive in. But last thing, nothing on the show should be taken as medical advice, so please seek the advice of your physician. There we go. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Hypothalamic Amenorrhea Podcast. I have a guest today that I am so excited about. I'm going to informally tell you how we originally met. We met through my friend, one of her clients, and my friend is wild. I love her, but she is wild. So she's like, I call her my Russian roulette friend, because when I call her, I actually don't know where she is in the world. She's probably traveling somewhere, or what insanity has been in her life. And so she's my Russian roulette, where I'm like, you know what? I have a 30-minute drive. Let's call her. And through working with her, I met Marcy. And so let me just tell you a little bit about Marcy and what she does and why I know that her story and what she does is going to be something that you guys are going to be so excited about. Okay. So Marcy Rader believes that health powers productivity. And I know all of us are like, ding, 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 that's us. As a founder of Rader Co., she helps individuals and teams banish burnout through practical tools and sustainable habits. Marcy is a multi-certified and multi-award-winning health and productivity expert, a digital wellness practitioner, yes, and a 3-time author. She has spoken on 5 continents, is a TEDx speaker, and is part of the 1% of speakers worldwide with a distinguished certified speaking professional designation. Her latest book, Work Well, Play More, was named one of the top 3 books of 2023 by the Brainy Business. Marcy's TEDx, The Relentless Pursuit of More, launched on March
in April 2024, where she shared her HA journey. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why she's on this podcast, because I watched that and I was like, oh, we need to chat. So, welcome.
Thank you, Ashley. And if I would have had a podcast like this in my 30s and in my 40s, I just turned 50 a couple weeks ago. I want to applaud you for what you are doing and the reach that you are having. And so thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so I kind of just want, how did your HA journey, well, now looking back, because now that whenever we look back, we're like, huh, this actually started way back when. When did your HA journey start? And then how did you become aware that it was actually HA?
Sure. Well, I'm going to go all the way back to college to let people know that my degrees were in exercise science and wellness, and I had a master's in health promotion, health and exercise management. I did not, it was a selfish degree. I just wanted it for myself. I only worked in the field for about 2 years, and then I worked in clinical research in pharma and biotech, and but still maintained multiple certifications. I would continue to get certified in everything from the National Academy of Sports Medicine and American College of Sports Medicine. I had many, many certifications, and which is part of my, if anybody is familiar with StrengthsFinders, I am number one learner, which means I'm always taking a course, reading lots of books, and so on, which is great until that is part of your drive where you just cannot get enough. And in my late 20s and throughout my 30s, I was in a very high stress job. I traveled up to 48 weeks a year, and which traveling that much is not healthy for you. I also competed in, I started out with 10Ks, and that led to marathons, and that led to ultra marathons of over 30 miles. And then that led to triathlons and then ultra. And I was doing Ironmans. And then I changed to ultra mountain biking, where I would mountain bike 100 miles on a single speed bike, or tw do 24 hour events. And then I moved to adventure racing and did up to 48 hours. And it was never, never enough. Every time I set a goal, if I reached that goal, then I just moved the bar higher. And the thrill for me was never in reaching the goal. It was in the pursuit of it. That's where you get, that dopamine. And throughout all of this time, because I was doing all this activity and I was an athlete, and it wasn't like I was winning or anything. I trained anywhere from 12 to 18 hours a week, which was basically a part-time job. And yeah, and so I,
Yes. Yes.
yeah, yes, it is.
I feel so seen already. Like, I'm like, that's me.
Yes.
Like, and all my
Yes.
clients in my head are like pinging in my head. Like, yes. Like, I just the way that you have worded this whole journey, I feel like you just summed up my life.
Many
So keep
women.
going, but this is
Yes.
so good. So good.
Good. Well, through, I've been married 26 years. We've been together 31. And my biggest regret, even more than driving myself to HA, which I'll get to, is that my husband missed me so much. And I'm starting to feel emotional. He never felt like he could tell me because I was the primary earner. And he knew, and I loved my job. He knew, like in the beginning, I loved my job. And he knew that, like, this was really driving our family, because and my family, the two of us. But he is a professional drummer. He does not, he's a gig worker. He doesn't have consistent income, doesn't make a ton of money. And so he was always afraid to tell me. And that cost, we had some years that were we were really struggling. And so from a relationship perspective, my drive hurt me. And from a health perspective, so because I was doing all these sports and things, people would have thought I was the healthiest person in the room. I would have thought I was the healthiest person in the room. And not to mention that I just got shut down all the time. I shut down with inbox zero every night. And but I was work, 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 because I was on the road. I'd work on the plane. I'd work until I went to sleep. I was always working, working, working. And so I always felt like when I get a promotion, then I'll slow down. When I make X amount of money, then I'll hire a housekeeper and help. When I, you know, reach this goal, then I'll do X. It was always if this, then that. And so when I was 36, that I know of, I stopped having periods. And I say that because I was on the NuvaRing and, you know, like, are they real? You know, like it wasn't like my body was having period, you know, like I was naturally having periods.
Like it was a withdrawal bleed.
Yes, yes, yes. And so I decided I didn't want to be on birth control anymore because I had been on birth control for 20 years at that point. And so my husband had we did not we chose not to have children. We did not have children. But he got a vasectomy, so I came off birth control. And couple years went by, I still didn't have a period. And so I had gone to see a gynecologist, and actually, funny story for your audience. I went to a urologist gynecologist because I also have an issue with a trauma-induced bladder condition. And when I told my husband I went to see a urogynecologist, he thought I meant, he's like, what's so special about European gynecologists? We laugh at that. We laugh at that so hard. He, his brain, he saw EURO. When I said urologist, kind of, he was like, oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed. So we love that. And I tell every gynecologist that I see that story, because they think it's so funny. But I went to a urogynecologist and they said I was in menopause. And that is not good to be in menopause, and that I had been in menopause since 36. And they used the word menopause. So then, in my late 30s, I was put on a hormone patch, I was put on testosterone, because there's this whole weighing of like, you know, all the risks of not having periods and things. And but no one really said, no one really asked me, like, how much are you exercising? You know, are you healthy?
Because you're the walking healthiest person known to mankind.
Exactly. You know, how much are you eating? How much are you sleeping? No.
Because your excessive amount of veggies is the goal in everyone's life.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So when I was 39, I quit my job, started my business with the productivity training and consulting and coaching. And within just a few months of starting my own business, and this was significant because I did not have insurance anymore. I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's disease, which triggered by my lifestyle. And it's funny because when I started my business, I thought, oh, I'll have even more time to train
I
and race, which is totally bananas, because when you have your own business, you not, and at least for a while, you do not have more time, you know. And so I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's disease, and went to an integrate Duke Medicine Integrative Health. So they have like MDs that have also been trained in like functional medicine. So I went to see this person, and still did not really interview me on what I was doing to my body. And this is from an integrative person. And we spent 45 minutes together. She sent me to another gynecologist, like wanted to make sure I didn't have a brain tumor, like all this stuff. And so then they just started managing my Hashimoto's disease. But I felt like, I needed somebody to look at me from the outside. So I contacted Ben Greenfield, who is a very famous author and personal trainer and coach. He lives out in Washington State, I believe. And we did one 45-minute coaching session. And he said to me, you haven't had a period, you're in menopause, you're only, 39 years old, and you have Hashimoto's disease. You need to stop your racing, at least for a while, and you need to just rest. And when he said like yoga, walking, I was like, I hate
Livid.
you. I hate you so much. You have just put me in hell. I really didn't even know how to live in my body that way.
Oh,
And
that's worded so beautifully. Yes. Yes, because every single, I had that same response. I think the first time someone told me to do yoga, it's like when people tell you to calm down, you're just like immediately triggered, and you're just like, you want me to do yoga and walking? And but now, from a coaching perspective, it's like, oh, did I just trigger you? Then that's the biggest sign that's exactly where we need to go.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, but I'm sure this meeting didn't go well. So continue with this because I am like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it did not go well. I really hated him. And but he was so right. He was so, and actually, the way I discovered him was I watched a Hashimoto's some virtual summit on Hashimoto's disease. And he was one of the guests, and he was talking about how you exercise with Hashimoto's disease. So that is how I had connected with him. And I mean, I couldn't even power walk. And so, and I was only sleeping like about 4 hours a night for years. I had terrible sleep, and I'd wake up and sit on the toilet for like 20 minutes every morning. I had so many digestive problems. I really was such a mess. But because it happens gradually over time, it just becomes your new normal. And it was,
Yes.
I remember traveling with somebody and we stayed in the same hotel room, and they were like, Marcy, you should not be spending that much time in the bathroom every morning. And it's like, it was like a light bulb, like, oh yeah, I actually shouldn't, like, this shouldn't be hard for, like, I shouldn't be spending all this time in the bathroom every morning and cramped up and stuff all the time. So I had all these symptoms. And so for like 4 months, I started with just yoga and walking. And if you saw me, if this were video, you'd see me like making this face, and because I couldn't stand it. And I slowly kind of, got better, as far in quotes, got better as far as like my resting heart rate came down because it was elevated all the time. I started sleeping better, and I got my thyroid under control. But I did decide after about a year to not race anymore. So I did my last race when I was 40 years old. And the way I was able to do that for all of my athletes out there, and when I say athlete, remember, I was not a good one. Like, it wasn't like I was winning races,
Like you weren't sponsored, you know what I mean?
I mean, I wasn't like coming in first, second, third, 20th,
Yeah.
sometimes it depended on the race. But and here I was putting my body through all this. But oh, I can't remember where I was going with that.
You're a race at 40, and you're
Oh
like,
yeah,
ah,
so
like I was able to do
racing.
it.
And the way I was able to get over that is, when I would go out for a run, I would not do any of the same routes I did before, so I could never compare my time.
Ooh.
I stopped looking at splits, and I would just start running for total time or like miles. But I wouldn't run more than like 45 minutes. Whereas before I was running for hours because I was doing
Yeah.
that. I took my computer off my bike, and so I didn't see what my bike speed was. And I started doing different activities. I got really into jumping rope, which that's my main thing now, is I use this cross rope system. And I started strength training more. And so not I couldn't compare myself to the old me. And that really
Yes.
helped. Really helped.
That's so helpful. You know what? I think actually that's really powerful because women with HA were so internally driven. Like, yeah, I mean, yeah, we'll like level up if someone's watching, but that's not why we're motivated. We're just like internally motivated. And one of the things is that we're constantly comparing ourselves to our old self. So I love that you touched on that as like, and I think that's why I've probably been able to successfully reemerge into like a team sport, or just because I'm not comparing myself to what I was doing before, because it's not the same anymore. You know what I mean? So that's why. So that's like really smart. That's really, really smart. You're like, I have to do a different version so that data-wise, you can't actually compare.
Yes, and I was a big self-quantifier. Like I tracked everything all the time, so I had all the data to compare myself to. So that was one big thing that helped me mentally, for sure, to kind of come out of that. And then I was traveling less, for sure, with my business. And from a productivity perspective, that staying up late, answering emails, and all of that, I had already stopped that, which is what helped me to start my productivity company. But fast forward to for now, I'm 50 now, but when I was 48, I started bleeding and I thought something is wrong. Something is very wrong. And because it had been, 12 years at that point. And so I went to my doctor. I had an amazing direct primary care doctor. And direct primary care means that I pay a membership. We do not have insurance. We use medical cost sharing and direct primary care. And so she is able to spend a lot of time with me. That is the difference between direct primary care and insurance covered, because a lot of times insurance, they spend 7 to 15 minutes if you're lucky. Like that's their quota. And so she didn't know what was going on with me. We did lab tests. She and everything came back normal. And she was like, and we did a pelvic exam, all this stuff. And by this time I had been off hormones and everything. It's the weighing of, I'd only been on hormones for about 3 years, because at that point it was like, well, we don't want you to be on hormones for so many years. So it was just like, we were always doing, we did a DEXA scan every year for bone density, which by the age of 40, I already had osteopenia. And both my grandma and my mom had osteoporosis. And so we do a DEXA scan every year. And I've been able to manage that, thankfully, probably a lot of it because I do a lot of load bearing, like jumping and running and things. But so then like 6 months later, I started bleeding again. I was like, what is going on? So then she sent me to another gynecologist specialist, and they did an endometrial biopsy, which was super painful, because when you haven't had kids, it's especially painful. And a couple of other things. And by this time, then I bled one more time, but they were always like months and months apart. And she calls me one day, because I'm thinking like, is something seriously wrong?
Yeah,
Because
because you're like, something's wrong. I'm bleeding and I have blood in my,
And so she calls me and she says, yeah, you were never in menopause. And I said, what? She's like, you were never in menopause. I'm gonna all your, like she had my labs, and I can't remember which ones were normal and which were not. But she referred me back to my primary care. My primary care is so amazing, Dr. Amy Walsh in Raleigh, North Carolina. She consulted with five doctors. She went through all of my medical records as far back as she could from Duke. And she found one note that a doctor had written that said hypothalamic amenorrhea. And I lost it. She called me. We spoke for 45 minutes on the phone on a Friday. And then she called me on Saturday and spent another 30 minutes with me on the phone, which doctors don't do that.
No.
I mean, you know, just to check on me, because emotionally, I was a wreck. Because for one, I know enough that if somebody would have used those words with me and said that I had it, I could have fixed it. Like, I saying I have hypothalamic amenorrhea is like, okay, you're doing something to cause, like, I know that I've. It would have been, I wouldn't have liked it, but it would have been like, okay, Mercy, you need to own this and take care of it.
And you
But
know
when
that's
somebody,
so, yeah.
go ahead.
Most women with HA, they have a high integrity and high accountability, meaning that like the moment it's spoken and it's put on the table, they grit their teeth and they hate the process, but they're like, I know. And think about like, we all secretly know that like we weren't going to be able to get away with what we were doing, but we were just waiting for the sign that there was something wrong. And because it never actually came, then we just kept going. But like, I can imagine that once you heard it, it's like that little voice all along for all those years were like, see, maybe, you know what I mean? Like, there's this intuition that, like, you just, you know.
Diddling. That's my sound effect for this ad break. Again, this episode is brought to you by the wonderful, the amazing Jewel Wellness, nature's multivitamin for your goals that matter the most. Energy that lasts, no caffeine crash, skip the coffee, have the liver. It is packed with essential nutrients to support your reproductive health, your egg quality, your cycles, and don't forget his sperm quality. The whole family should be taking it, and you should be rotating beef liver and zinc. He's gonna need it for his testosterone, just quietly. Okay? Hormonal skin issues. Liver is rich in vitamin A, and actually, you know what? So is oyster. So be on both of those things. Rotating through 1 month oyster, 1 month liver. This is going to help promote clear skin, healthy hair. This is the natural form of vitamin A. I could talk forever, but you guys need to get back to the show. So go to jewelwellness.com and use the discount code HA Society to get 12% off. Biggest discount available anywhere. All right, back to the show. Bring.
Oh, I love that you said we knew we couldn't get away with it.
But we were waiting for the big red flag and it just didn't come.
And I was so upset because I could have fixed it. And I remember crying and I kept saying to my doctor, I could have fixed this because here I am now because they were coming to regularly because now I'm in premenopause. Now I'm in perimenopause. It's like I got him just in time and then I was also upset and I was like, and now I'm gonna have to go through all the menopause stuff when I thought I didn't already did that. And then one thing, and I credit her for not laughing, because here I was crying, blubbering, and I said, does this mean I'm gonna have to buy period panties again? Oh my gosh, I thought I was beyond this. And but anyway, so I have an Oura ring. And I track them and it'll be like, I think I just looked this morning and it's been like 85 days since the last time. But I, to me, what that said was it took me 12 years to recover from that, from what I put myself through and the standards that I had written for myself. And when I decided to do a TEDx, I coach both men and women, and but a lot of the women that I coach are me. Maybe not doing ultras and things, but they are high achievers, type A, which I say type awesome are. And but we don't always know how to dial it back or where we can dial it back. And we are experiencing relationship issues, health issues. We think that we'll have time to fix it later, and we don't. And so when I decided to do a TEDx, instead of doing it in my area, like around digital wellness or putting down your phone or how to get stuff done or any of those things, I decided to, because my company focuses on the how when it comes to training, like how do I achieve X? And I wanted to talk about the why you even want to do that.
Yeah.
And why behind why this is a passion for me. And it's funny, I had when I rehearsed it, there were men that I rehearsed to, my friends, that had no idea that this occurred. Like that had no idea that women have this. There were a lot of women that came up to me after the TEDx when I talked about it and said, I'm so glad you said the word period on stage. And I'm so glad that, that you talked about this. And the two, again, I'm going to try not to get emotional. The two that made the most impact for me is I did the TEDx at NC State, North Carolina State University, and the students were volunteers, and one of the young women came up to me and said, I'm afraid I'm going to be you. And I did not take that as an insult at all.
Totally, because like you know,
Oh,
yeah.
she is a ballerina. She had stopped having periods. She was a sophomore in college. She was a pre-med major.
Of
So,
course, of
yeah,
course.
of course.
Let's just dial up the
Oh,
intensity of
yeah.
everything.
Oh, yeah. And she sat down, and I'm going to use the word monopolize my time, but in a positive way, like
Yeah.
we just like connected and looked at each other and spoke. And I could see people coming up wanting to talk to me, but I was like,
Yeah.
I need to give this woman, young woman, space. And so that made such an impact on me. And then the second woman was, we were celebrating my TEDx at one of my favorite restaurants. And I was with my director of marketing, who's also my best friend. And this woman, young waitress, senior in high school, said, oh, you're celebrating something because we had balloons. And we said, yes, I just did a TEDx. And she asked, what it was about. And she watched it during her break. And she came out when she came to give us her bill, our bill. And she had written on her little order pad the different points in my talk that resonated with her. And she said, this is me. And she was like listing
Oh.
things. And we have pictures. I was crying. My friend was crying. She was crying. And, I thought when I did this TEDx that I would be speaking more to women in their 30s and 40s. And I had no idea that the two, at least the two that came to me, and it like really hit the most, were going to be 18 and 19 years old. And so that just made me feel like, if we can get the message out earlier that this is a thing, that we might prevent this from happening. Because again, the word, I knew what HA was. I'd heard it before. But to me, it was always in studies around gymnasts,
Yes. Oh.
or always a study for gymnasts or figure skaters. It was never like just your average
Yes.
exerciser, which I knew
Yes.
I wasn't, but I was like, well, I'm not an Olympic athlete, or I'm not a
Yes.
college athlete. So I never put myself in that.
Yes. So that's actually so many things. When I first was like trying to figure this out, and I kept running up against all these websites that had described HA as someone who had an eating disorder. I mean, I definitely had some heavily disordered eating, but I wouldn't like, I don't even think that you would even, I wouldn't be qualified to be considered anorexic. You know what I mean? And I certainly didn't care about orthorexia because I was like, however, I could just stay lean and eat the most volume, like low fat. So definitely heavily disordered. But the other thing was like they talked about gymnasts. I'm like, no, I don't want to be skinny. I want to be jacked. I want to be strong. I want to be the leanest version of myself. And no, I actually love to eat. In fact, I'm actually very hungry right now. You know what I mean? So like it just never matched up. And so my business partner, she was in a very regular body and shared on Instagram that she had HA. And I remember my first response was, sucks to be her, because I was just like, I just kept scrolling, right? I was like, sucks to be her. And because like I just didn't, everything that I was reading, I was like, that's not me. And so one of our biggest things is that like we're very normal bodied individuals who developed HA on like, I mean, I was like crushing 1800 calories at a weight that most women recover at 135. I was very lean at 135 just because I sit very muscular and heavy, and developed HA. And I couldn't find anybody's story who was similar to that, because it was always this gymnast with an eating disorder. And I'm like, well, that's not me.
Eating 800 or 1,000 calories.
They're like, are you eating 600, 900 calories, 1,000 calories? I'm like, nope. I don't even know how you would do that. So, and then to your point, it's so interesting. Like, we're starting to get, it's really interesting. We're having like this split. We're having a split of like high schoolers starting to sign up with us because they care. And like their moms are on the call with us because they care. And I'm just like, wow, look at this shift. Almost the same experience that you're having, the shift of like, no, I actually do care about this, you know, type of thing. And so if people act to your point, if people just actually knew that, you know, HA develops in many different body types and in many different sizes outside of your typical gymnast with an eating disorder, then maybe more people would be, you're like, oh, I actually need that. And on the other side, we're starting to get quote unquote the over 40 who's like, no, this is not perimenopause. This is not menopause. And I still want my 10 years of ovulating before I enter. And so, like, both sides of those spectrums, and obviously, you know what I mean? Like, everyone falls in between, but just to see those opposite sides of the spectrum kind of wake up and be like, this is important to me now, has been like, oh, like, this does matter. Like, this is a thing. You know what I mean?
I want to touch on the point about the food. So I wouldn't when it I didn't have an eating disorder, but I had disordered eating. Like to me, there's kind of a difference. But so I tracked all my food on MyFitnessPal. And I would tell when doctors would say, like, how many calories are you eating or whatever, I would show them, I'd pull up my phone, I'd be like, 2,200 calories today, 2,000 calories, 2,500 calories. However, I was exercising insane amounts. So it still was not enough. But it wasn't enough. And but I didn't look anorexic, like I didn't, it wasn't anything like that. And that is one thing that I had to kind of retrain myself was from a food perspective. But one other thing I want to mention is that when I did that TEDx, it was like a coming out a little bit because I felt like a fraud. Because my first two books, I talked about being in I and it was just a very, very small piece of the book because they were productivity related. But I talked about how I kind of, I used to be this way and was a sugarholic and I went into menopause at 36 and I used to do all this crazy exercise and stuff. And it wasn't the point, but that's how I referred to myself. And so then when I realized, oh my gosh, it took 12 years for me to recover from that BS, that I was ashamed. I was embarrassed because I felt like I should have known better. Like I have a company about health-powered productivity. I have two degrees. I have 15 different certifications in health stuff. I should know. So the people that have HA that are like into fitness or they're an influencer, or they're just somebody that people look to like, oh, she's got it going on because of, she just looks like the full package. That was like people would always talk about me as if I have it all dialed in, and I just felt like, oh my God, I'm a fraud. And I
Oh,
don't want to
that
tell
is.
people. And so it was like when I did that TEDx, it
Yeah.
was like, I'm showing it all, people.
No, my gosh, I love that you said, because everybody who is wrestling with this feels like a fraud for the exact reasons. I mean, I was a nutrition coach for X amount of years, and it makes me cringe. But to your point, like you know, and women with HA, the high integrity, high accountability, like I have to own that I likely led a lot of women into HA. Because you don't know what you don't know until you know, and then you have to do something about it, right? So, you know, to the point of like whether they didn't tell me about their period because I didn't ask, or they were on birth control, so it, you know what I mean, or because they didn't care, or because I didn't know, all these factors led to very much likely until I had one client who wasn't on birth control. And she said, "Hey, my period went missing." And I was like, "Oh!" And then so I helped her gain her period back. And she was my very first client that I helped gain her period back. And then it hit me. And I was like, how many other people has this happened to, but didn't tell me? And it shook me to such a core that
We didn't know.
yeah. And like, you don't know what you don't know. Just like every single woman. Some of them come to us with like heavy shame about the fact that they're even NHA because they're this health model to their entire family and community and a friend group and all these things. And then we constantly like, you don't know what you don't know, but you know now. And now is when we can make a change. So, kind of segue into that, how has this changed the way you work and the way like your business runs now and stuff like that? Because I can only imagine like, you likely probably attract women who are high productivity,
Oh,
type A awesome, to a point where I'm sure like this is probably starting to like come up in work or something that you're mindful of now.
sure. So, in my personal life, I am much better at creating guardrails, and I prefer the term guardrails because they keep us safe. Our time, energy, focus, relationships, they're not barriers. When you're driving around a mountain, you want guardrails there.
Yeah, you ain't lying.
So I'm much better about that. I prioritize more effectively, and it's not about getting everything done. It's about getting the right things done, and I didn't
That's so
realize what
good.
that meant before. And I can say no like a boss.
Yes.
And it's
Yes.
funny because there's the book like The Year of Yes and blah, blah, blah. And the clients that come to me do not have problems saying yes. The problem is, saying no.
I
Say
need a year of no. I need a year
yes,
of no.
yes. Right. But I really do a lot of reflecting and prioritizing and thinking through. And I have a budget every month of, we have our financial budget, but I also have a budget of how much time I spend with people. I have a lot of friends, and I have an incredible social life, but I have a limit. And when I've reached that budget, somebody just asked me because I do a lot of walking meetings. They're like, when can we do our next walking meeting? And I said, end of November.
Yes,
I'm not,
absolutely.
I can't add anybody else on without feeling like it's too
Yeah.
much. Till the end of November. And they're like, oh my gosh, are you kidding? And I was like, no, this is what works for me. And
People laugh at me all the time. They're like, "Do you have a free day? November or something?" And because I will overschedule myself with yes. Because I'm an extra, I will because I do love being with people until I look at my schedule and I have driven myself into the ground. And then I start just taking things off. Like, I have no problem with saying, you know what? I was irresponsible with my time. I apologize. I have to cancel this. You know what I mean? But like, I try not to get to that place. So yes, absolutely. You know?
And for our clients, just as an example, when I first started my business, I was all about inbox zero. And now that it's not That's not what I teach. I want to help you manage your inbox, and we give you the tips, the tricks, the behaviors to do that. But that shouldn't be the goal for everyone, depending on your role. So it's, you know, it's about managing your attention and your focus, not necessarily your time or your calendar, but really looking more at whole picture and not just the hacks and the shortcuts.
Yes.
But, you know, what is it that you really want? And so, you know, it's all about, of course, email communications, your time and your calendar, how you're managing your tasks, but from an overall umbrella of what are your true priorities. And if you're saying that those are your priorities, if a journalist were following you around, writing a story about a day in the life of you, would they say that all of your actions are aligning with what you say your priorities are?
We say that all the time. Sometimes, like in like recovery, we have conscious goals and subconscious goals, and our actions let us know which ones we're serving. So a lot of times women will say, you know, I actually want my period back so I can start a family, but their goal is serving trying to be the leanest version of themselves. Like their subconscious goals. And so it's like where your actions are actually following, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, to your point of like, what goal is your action serving? And it's just so powerful whenever, I think whenever you have an experience like the one that you have, like it can only rock your world and change the way that like we move through life. Because to your point, like, I don't think any of your clients were like, yes, I would love 12 years of fake menopause.
Right. Yeah. It sounds great. Like, oh, well, you didn't have a period for 12 years. Oh, I'd love to not have a period. No, you wouldn't.
Oh, no.
It affects your health in a long-term way. And that's not, it's not good for you.
Yeah.
To be in that state. It's because your body is screaming for help.
Yes. Yes.
And you're ignoring it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, as we kind of wrap this up, I did want to kind of like, I watched your TEDx and I just remember being like, so moved by it, because to your point, it very much was like you're coming out, you know what I mean? Because like I knew a little bit about your story, and then so like I was like, I wonder how far she'll go into this, you know, like I wonder if she'll kind of come out and say what it really was. And for you to come out on stage and say what it really was, and like I'm sure like most people, they were probably so shocked because they've only been given one point of view that exercising more and eating less will only result to one thing, and it's always good. And so to see someone like do it to the max and be like, hey guys, that's not what happened. I had a completely different experience is shocking for some people. You know what I mean? And so if anybody has not watched it, guys, you need to watch it. It is, I dropped it in our group. So in like the HA Society, but it's the Relentless Pursuit of More. Just that title. Kudos to you and your writing, because I'm like, you already got me. You know what I mean? Like you already captured the whole audience there, because that is at the core, right? Just a little bit leaner, just a little bit more work, just a little more certifications, just a little more knowledge, just a little more of these things. You know what I mean? Is there anything else that you want to leave with the people? I mean, you've already deposited so much wisdom, but anything else that you're like, hey.
Well, if they are listening to your podcast, then they are already on their way.
Yeah.
But my main thing is that I really feel like the more we talk about it, the more younger women we will save from going through this. We don't want it to be normal, but we want to normalize that this is a condition.
Yeah.
And that people talk about it. And it is a cause of infertility, and it is a cause of bone loss, and so many things. And, you know, I think doing that TEDx also helped me to talk more about the bladder condition that I have and things. And, you know, I've even had to talk to a couple of men or a few men about it, because I was traveling with them, and, you know, it was just like, I I have this thing, and I tell them, and the more we talk about it, the more other people will talk about it, and we can prevent this.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's the thing that I always like to end with is that the really awesome thing is that HA is reversible. Whenever we're diagnosed in time and we're given time.
Yes.
And what I love about your story is that your body didn't give up on you. She was still like, hey, you know what I mean? Like, whenever things are in place, like, even though it's right before a menopause, like, she's still on your side. The crazy thing, after all of it, she's like, I'm still on your side. And I think that it's
Audience,
just.
Ashley just made me cry. That, yes, my body's still on my side. Yes, that is, we got to end there because it just hit me. You just hit me in the heart. Hit me. Thank
Absolutely.
you, Ashley.
Absolutely. And well, and if anybody who couldn't possibly be our audience, highly driven women in the workplace, honestly, check out her company, Raider Co. I mean, if there's anybody who wants that you want to help you reach your goals, but also keep this in mind, I couldn't imagine anybody better because her desire is that you wouldn't end up with the same story and you don't have to end up with the same story. So, guys, check her out. RaiderCo, .com, I would imagine.
Hello, RaiderCo.com.
Hello, RaiderCo.
RaiderCo.com is taken by somebody. So it's hello, RaiderCo.com.
I like it.
Yes, but my personal website is MarcyRaider.com, MarcyRaider.com. And my TEDx is just MarcyRaider.com/TEDx. Or
Oh,
you
yes.
can just Google it on YouTube.
Yes.
Search it on YouTube. Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, Marcy, thank you so much for your time. I have loved this and just loved the message that you have for women.
Thank you, Ashley.
All right. Bye, guys.
Hello, ladies. It's been a minute since I brought you something big and exciting for free. But I'm really excited about this. I was thinking, what do we really need to help some of these women seriously move some needles? Right, like really make some significant progress in their recovery. So I wanted to offer this to you guys, and it's basically this is stuff that we only give our paying clients. Our paying clients, our one-on-one members. So it was a big decision for me to make this bundle for you guys, but here we are. I am presenting to you guys our HA Infertility Blueprint Kit. So here's what this is. It's our DIY Restore Your Fertility program. So you get full access to the HA Society, which is usually $25 a month. And then this DIY Restore program is $472. And I'm giving it to you guys for free. I want you to come in to our amazing HA Society. I want you to come to our community calls. I want you to utilize the Restore program. I want you to utilize the content. I want you to come and chat and make some moves in your recovery. The other thing I'm offering is a 45-minute discovery call with me about whether or not your HA progress is happening and if you're ready for one-on-one coaching. So I'm going to chat with you and make sure having that call with me is actually the right move for you. I do not want you to get on this call with me if it's not the right thing for you. So here's what we're going to do. You're going to go to Instagram. So that's the HA Society. Or you can go to my Instagram, which is Danny Sheriff. And you're going to DM Blueprint, the word Blueprint. And I'm going to chat with you. I'm going to send you the link to get that blueprint bundle kit 100% free, even though it's totally valued at $497. I'm giving that to you guys for a month for free. And we're going to jump on a call and we're going to talk about your recovery. And we're going to figure out your next best steps to getting your period back, getting pregnant naturally if that's your goal. And we're going to make some moves. We're going to make some moves on recovery. It's going to be great. So go to the HA Society or go to Danny Sheriff. If you don't have Instagram, you can email me. You can find that on the website and I will send those things to you. Okay, guys, this is exciting, but on with the show. Hey there, it's me, Danny, and I want to tell you about Temp Drop as a fertility awareness method tracking option. So many of you guys know that we actually recommend the fertility awareness method both as you're going through recovery and 100% after you have gotten some cycles back and you're starting to move forward for the rest of your reproductive years. So Temp Drop itself is a wearable fertility monitor and we love it. It's a wearable device, so you put it around your arm and you can use that instead of taking your temperature manually with a thermometer each morning. So I'm personally a big fan of the manual tracking. All of us at the HA Society are, and that's the method that we use, you know, just using a good old thermometer. We use that with our clients because it's the best way to use it as a diagnostic tool, as a practitioner. And it's also the best way to ensure if you're trying to avoid pregnancy that you don't get pregnant. However, manual temping for many reasons is just not always an option. When you're in the middle of recovery, again, we do recommend manual temping, but once you're cycling, the temp drop is actually a really great hack. So it gives you basically everything you need to effortlessly track your fertility status, like where you are in your monthly cycle. So you wear the temp drop sensor while you're sleeping for accurate basal body temperature readings without the stress of early morning wake-ups. So I personally love this because with a toddler, my wake-up times are all over the place and the occasional sleep disruptions make using an oral thermometer a lot more difficult. So Temp Drop's accompanying charting app enables you to track an array of symptoms alongside your basal body temperature. This includes tracking your cervical mucus if you've been using OPKs, and then it also gives you sleep insights too. So you can combine these fertility signs all in one place, and that will help you identify your fertile window, confirm ovulation, plan for your period, and if you're trying to get pregnant, you know, identify whether or not you are pregnant. So whether you're trying to conceive or avoiding pregnancy, or you want to chart for health reasons, like HA recovery, making sure your cycle's not slipping back in the HA direction, Temp Drop makes fertility awareness accessible to all women, even if you don't have regular cycles or sleeping patterns. So track your ovulation in real time with the Temp Drop, and we are lucky enough to have a 15% off code. So if you go to their website, they're usually having a sale, but you can stack this code on top of the existing code. So just go to tempdrop.thehasociety.com and use the code AFHASociety. I think too, if you just go to tempdrop.com and use AFHASociety at the checkout, that will work too. So happy temping and good luck. Thank you so much for listening today, guys. Please subscribe to the podcast, and if you could head to iTunes specifically and leave a rating or review, that would help so much because it makes it easier for other people with HA who are Googling around to find the podcast really easily. So if you do that, you're doing a service to all of the women.